have a busy morning this morning. Welcome all of you who are coming to the baptisms. We're going to worship. So if you're able to find a seat and stand in front of it, please do.
Welcome, everybody. Please have a seat. A couple people said, Eric, I haven't seen you preach in shorts and a swim shirt ever, so that's a rare thing, you know. We are casual here at Grace Fellowship, but not usually that casual. Why do you think I'm wearing this getup? Because we're going to get wet today, and this is a super special Sunday. We're going to have five individuals that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior that now want to proclaim that to others in baptism. So they're moving forward with that idea of baptism. So I'd like those five to come up here to the front. And I've asked them to briefly share when they met Jesus and what Jesus means in their life. So come up here to stand to my right. If you wrote it down, that's great. I know some people get real nervous in front of people, but do you know what? Don't mean to be nervous. Do you know why? Because everyone here loves you and they're super supportive of what you're doing, so you don't need to be nervous about sharing. So I'm going to just kind of pass. I'm going to start with Ryan here because Ryan's super bold. So Ryan, would you share with us your testimony? When did you accept Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Born again? Okay. So what does Jesus mean to you?
Show everyone that I'm committing my life to Jesus.
these guys a hand. This is a big decision. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10 that if you believe in your heart that God raised him from dead and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. So Jesus saving us is not anything we've done, but it's us putting ourselves under Christ. And baptism's a symbol of that. We are going down into the water, and it's symbolizing that we're dying to self. We're dying to the old ways, and we're coming up a new creation. So it's symbolizing what has happened in these individuals' hearts and lives. So we're going to make our way outside now. We do have, Steve Phillips does have his little golf cart around. If there's some that would need some assistance getting down there with the golf cart, you can, where's Steve at? All right, Steve could help you. And I don't know if Ray brought his golf cart down today or not, but if you feel like that's too much for you, no worries. You could stay here or maybe sit out on the patio and observe from there. So if you feel like it's too hard, we're going to actually go down to where the dock is. We're not going right to the beach because the dock area gets deeper quicker because we've done it in the shallows and you have to go out quite a ways and it gets a little tricky with all the weeds and such. So we're going to make our way out to the dock now as a whole fellowship. And do these baptisms, then we'll come back in here after that.
Stand and worship as you're able. All of creation, all of the earth, make straight a highway, a path for the Lord. Jesus is coming soon. Call back the sinner, wake up the saints. Let every nation shout of your praise. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing. Even so come,
even
Lord
so
Jesus come. Even so come,
even
Lord
so
Jesus come. There will be justice, all will be new, your name forever, faithful and true. Jesus is coming soon. Like a bride waiting for her groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart longing for our King, we sing. Like a bride waiting for a groom, will be a church ready for you. Every heart
special communion because those that are baptized, maybe they've never done communion before, and this will be that first time they do that. And what does communion represent? That's a good question for us all to consider. We see here, we see some bread. We see some grape juice represented here. This bread represents the body of Christ. And the Bible speaks about when Jesus' body was torn, it was like the veil that hung between the rest of the temple and the Holy of Holies. When that veil was torn, it allowed the Holy of Holies to be accessible to everyone. So when we think of Jesus' body broken for us, the Bible also speaks about when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we are a temple of God, that His Holy Spirit comes now and dwells within us. Before, the Holy Spirit was over the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. That was where they thought that was, and the Holy Spirit was. So now you and I, because of what Christ had done, His body being broken, we are the temple of God. His Spirit dwells within us. Think about that. You have the Holy of Holies within you. And you may say, well, Eric, what's the Holy of Holies? Well, in the Jewish time, there was this Holy of Holies that only the high priest could go in once a year after sacrificing and purifying himself and sacrificing for the sins of the nation. And the only one time a year could they go in there. No one could go in there. Now you and I have access to the presence of God through the broken body of Jesus. And then he also said, my blood is poured out. This wine or this grape juice represents that. And it's a new covenant, a new promise. And this new covenant is that we have our sins forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. No longer do we need to bring sacrifices. You know, think about how much a bull or a ram or a lamb cost. So every time they had a sin, they had to sacrifice this property. A bull would be like every time you sin, you have to drive your car off a cliff, you know, push that car off a cliff. That's not what the cost was maybe for a family. And so the cost of our sin has been paid. We're adopted into the family of God through this blood of the covenant. You and I are now called beloved children of God. So this is what we remember when we take communion. We remember that His body was broken. We have the presence of God with us always. And His blood was poured out. We have a new promise that includes people of all nations, not just the Jewish people. All of us are part of this forever family of God if we will put ourselves under Jesus Christ. So I just wanted us to take a minute. The Bible talks about, before we remember this, to take some time to allow God to examine our hearts. This is a great time for us to practice that discipline of confession, to just say, Lord, search me and know my heart. You are Lord, I am not. If there's anything in my life that doesn't align with what you say, bring that to light and bring that to the Lord. Confess that, turn from that now, and run towards the cross. So we'll take a moment just for you to ask God to just run His searchlight over your heart. If there's anything He brings conviction about, lay that before the cross. Confess that and turn from it. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can come into the light, not out of fear, but knowing that You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. We can come before You with those things we know are not right and lay those before You. And You desire to help us, to set us free from those things, to purify us from those things. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. So here at Grace Fellowship, the way we do communion, we come up row by row down the middle, and then we get a piece of the bread and the cup, and we go back to our seat, and you can partake of that whenever. We don't wait for everybody, you know, so when you get that, if you want to spend some time in prayer with those around you, you can, and come up here. I'm going to ask that those on the prayer team would come up first today. If you would like prayer, this is a great time to go back and get prayer for anything. It will be stationed at the back.
stuff, and you can't see down in it, and there's rocks, and there's all kinds of stuff. And the five of you went in, and you went down in it with the hope of rising up, and the stuff would wash off you, and you're entering into a new place, a forgiveness. And then we walk into the family of God, a portion of the family, a branch of the family right here, and then we get invited to this meal. We get invited to sing. And I just want to continue this invitation that through the, if you are in a place where you would like to take that step of turning, starting to turn back. You know, when we repent, it is turning direction. And the first part is stopping. If you're going in a place where you're walking away from the Lord and you stop and give pause to maybe what you've seen here today, then from there, you start to turn. And you want to turn with somebody. I know that this whole room is filled with people who would love the honor to walk alongside you with that. If you want to seek out an elder, it would be Eric and myself and Judea and Jerry. Jerry's right here. But if it doesn't have to be one. If you want to just say, hey, I'd like to talk to somebody about the change of direction. I want to come to the Lord. I want to give my life. I want things to change. I see the muck in the pond, and I want to come up out of it. Please don't ignore whatever the Holy Spirit is doing and tugging in your heart today.
Thank you guys for leading us in worship. Appreciate that. Yeah. I'd like to ask those that are going to take the offering to come forward. I don't see the square baskets, but if they are in the back, if the square baskets aren't going around, just make sure you take your cups and put those in the trash. These are not for the cups. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the way you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We give back now with glad, sincere hearts, not under compulsion, but because you have provided so much for us. We want to use this, you ask that you would use these offerings to bless others, to advance your kingdom now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we got a couple birthdays coming up, or one actually, a special one to me. Laura Byram on September 1st is going to be 1 year older. I won't tell you her age, but 1 year older. You can ask her, maybe she'll share that. Jadae and Melissa Fox are going to be celebrating an anniversary on the 27th, so congratulations to you guys. One more year of married life. Next Sunday, we're going to be honoring the Sunday school teachers. So if you're a Sunday school teacher, it would be awesome if you were here so that you could be honored. So please be sure to be here next Sunday if you have been involved in the Sunday school ministry. Thursday, September 5th, the women of Grace are going to meet to pray from 9 to 10 a.m. in the Lion Room. So be sure to come out for that. Our Wednesday Connect groups for kids, for teens, for adults will be starting September 4th on Wednesday, and they go from 6:30 to 8 p.m. So if you'd love to get involved in those, please come out on September 4th. We have a men's retreat on Saturday, September 7th, up in Vermilion, Ohio. You probably want to register for that sooner than later. In the bulletin, there's a link for doing that, so check that out. I'm going to ask Angel Vega to come up here. Angel was going to share about an announcement for the dance ministry. Oh, a boot. We've had so many boots.
That leads me to, this was really, I'm going to give you the chance now. This was going to be a really funny announcement, so you can go ahead and get your laugh out. Thank you. Yeah, I had this whole bit about two left feet, and you know, I was going to wear two left shoes and everything, and God has a bigger sense of humor. But I just want to let you know that starting September 9th, for five consecutive Mondays, to everyone. If we have to accommodate a boot, Debbie and I will do that. And I will lead the charge on that. But I would just invite you to hook up with Debbie or I and let us know that you want to be a part of this. We would love for you to do that. We just want to worship. And we're excited for you to join us with that.
I'm not going to forget the kids, like many of you think I will. But I'll finish the announcements here. September 14th, we're going to have a work day, Saturday, September 14th at 9 a.m. So Mitch is the guy, but we would love to have, this is kind of our fall work day to get ready for winter, cut down stuff, put stuff up. So it would be great if you could slot out that morning for the work day. On Sunday, September 15th, we're going to have a community meeting, and we're going to be talking about elders, and Greg Frankenfield responded with a positive towards moving towards eldership. So we're going to talk, and you can ask questions of Greg during that time, and the congregation will get an opportunity to affirm him as an elder. And then last but not least, the 21st, Saturday of September, 21st is Fall Family Fun Night, so save the date, 6:30, 8 p.m. That's a great opportunity to invite maybe someone that doesn't know this community to see what it's like, and also it'll be a good time for families. And kids, let's have the kids, fifth grade and under, if you could go to your Sunday schools and any teachers and helpers yesterday. Yes, I will pray for them. So let's just extend our hands as they go. Heavenly Father, bless these young people. May they know you. May they be attentive to you. May they grow in their knowledge of you, but also their relationship with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I am glad that I made a short sermon today. This was a packed service, wasn't it? We want to have some room for Circle Church as well. This, if you're interested in following along, there are notes on the circle table out there, right over in the back, but maybe those have all been taken. Has anyone heard of Plato? Has anyone ever heard of Plato? Yeah. So Plato has an interesting quote. In one of his writings, he says, "How can a man be happy who is servant of anything? How can a man be happy who is servant of anything?" And that was sort of the Stoic idea that you separate yourself from everything. And in Western culture, we tend to agree with Plato. We define freedom in negative terms. You might say, "What do you mean, Eric? What is negative terms?" We think of freedom as being free from things. Free from constraints, free from restrictions, free from promises, free from obedience to anyone or anything. We think that to the degree that we are obeying someone is the degree that we are serving someone or keeping a promise, to that degree we are not free. We think that this is because it cuts off our options. So Western culture tends to think of freedom in negative terms. So when we hear about the freedom that we find in Christ, we will sometimes bring that worldview concept into what we think of Christianity. So we may begin to think, well, you know, I'm free from the law. I'm free from others telling me what to do. I'm free from all these things. But God in the Bible tends to talk about freedom in a different way. It talks about freedom for. Freedom for versus freedom from. So let me unpack that a little bit. The Bible assumes that there is no such thing as negative freedom. There is no such thing as anyone who is free from all constraints or restraints. We are all subject to someone or something. It's just a matter of who or what is your master. Think about that. You might say, well, I can be free from everything, but then you are subject to yourself. You are your own master, and sometimes that is the worst master of all. And if you are your own master, what you serve is selfishness. Does that sound like a great thing to serve, selfishness? No. So individualism in American society has gone to such extent, it's called hyper-individualism. We
we've got to the point where we think we can determine anything about ourselves, who we are, what gender we are, all these different things, our sexual orientation, all these things, we think that it's up to us. But the Bible says no. You're subject to something. Whether it's the zeitgeist or spirit of the age, yourself, maybe some idol that you worship, or you can be subject to the Creator who made you. You will serve someone. As Bob Dylan said it, you got to serve somebody. You might know that song. So, it's just a matter of who is your master. In Christ, we have freedom to choose our constraints. There's constraints in everything, but Christ, he has said, I give you freedom to choose, and I encourage you to choose to follow me. Use your freedom to love God and others well. Use your freedom to love God and others well. And that's the theme for this year. Here at Grace Fellowship, we have our mission statement, and we as elders were meeting, and we felt like the mission statement needed some tweaks. It was previously a people for God who will go into the world and make disciples. And as we've been chewing on this actually for several years, we felt like it should actually be changed to a family for God rather than just a people. We are a family for God, a spiritual family. And at the community celebration last night, maybe you weren't able to make it, I had everybody look at the person next to them, and I want you to do that this morning. I want you to say to them, you're my forever family. If you are in Christ, that person next to you, if they are in Christ, they are your forever family. Now, there is the church universal, the all those that follow Jesus Christ, not just Grace Fellowship, different denominations out there. If we hold to, the Orthodox Christian faith, we are part of a large family. But here at Grace Fellowship, this is a smaller body of Christ. This is your spiritual family. So, a spiritual family for God who will go into the world and make disciples who make disciples. So it's not just stopping with you pouring into one other person, but that person then realizing that, oh, I can make disciples as well. So we're adding to that mission statement, disciples who make disciples. Because being a disciple, what it means is I'm a follower of Jesus. What we talked about in communion, I'm making Jesus my Savior and my Lord. That's what brings you and I into this forever family. And so, families, if they are functioning right, tend to produce children. Tend to, right? So this family is going to make spiritual children. And that comes as you are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in your workplace, with others in your physical family, with your neighbors, with those you come in contact with. You're saying, Jesus is worth following. He's a good master. He is the best master. And he has changed my life in this way. So you're sharing this testimony, and you're saying, he's the best master. Follow him. So I'm going to ask Judy to come and read. It's a real short passage today. Judy, you want to read that for us? 1 Peter 2:16. It's the theme verse for this year. So Judy, if you come up and read that for us. How about we read it all together, okay? You guys see it up there? Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. I would encourage you, there are papers on the circle table in the back, bookmarks that have this verse. Take that home. Put it in your Bible. Stick it on your fridge. Put it on the mirror when you're brushing your teeth in the morning. And use that. Memorize that. This is a great verse to keep in mind, to put into memory. So as we unpack this idea of using our freedom to love God and others well, there are three thoughts that connect with this I want to point out today. First, do this by finding the liberating restrictions. Second, by finding the restrictions that fit the design. And finally, do this by living in true spiritual authority of God himself. So let's look at the first one. Use your freedom to love God and others by well by finding the liberating restrictions. This is the idea that I mentioned in the introduction. The Bible assumes that there is no life without some sort of restriction. We tend to chafe at restrictions in the West, but even if we look at how we are made, we see many restrictions. Do I have wings? So if I go to a cliff and jump off, will I be able to fly? No. Well, I'm mad, God. You restricted me from flying. Do I have gills? Could I go underwater indefinitely? Probably not. Wouldn't be good for my health. All right, if I want to go out in space, the vacuum of space, can my body handle no pressure around it? No, my eyes would get big. My lungs might explode. My blood would start to boil. See, we're very frail and fragile. We have certain restrictions, whether we like it or not. And I can chafe at those restrictions, or I can live within them, and I will thrive. If I try to say, I'm going to live underwater, I'm not going to last very long. If I try to say, I'm going to fly and jump off high places, I'm not going to last very long. We have restrictions innate to ourselves. And it's good if we can find and understand those restrictions, that will then inform how we live. Instead of chafing at those, we can move forward in those. Warren Wiersbe says this well. He says, a true Christian submits himself or herself to authority because he or she is first of all submitted to Christ. They use their freedom as a tool to build with and not as a weapon to fight with. So we must ask ourselves, who is the best master? I would contend the one who made you and knows you is probably the best master. He knows what your restrictions are. He knows what you can handle, and he will not give you more than you can handle. Second, use your freedom to love God and others well by finding restrictions that fit the design. What are we designed to do? What is the purpose of humanity? Let me hear some thoughts. What is our primary purpose? Very good. It's close. To glorify God and enjoy him forever, as one Westminster Catechism says that. And I say that's a pretty good summary. You might come up with a different one. And John Piper says, you know what, I would argue, he says that we glorify God best when we enjoy him forever. So they're not separate. It's not glorifying God and enjoying him. It's glorify God by enjoying him, by loving God. You know, that's a great commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So when you and I are doing that, we are in the best environment. We are doing what we were made to do. You know, imagine if, you know, anyone here know any archaeologists? Yeah, Indiana Jones is one. I remember I was talking with Andy Anschutz a while back, and they found certain games in, like, Ur and other places. There's the Royal Game of Ur. They think they know how it's played, but there's other ones that they find, and they don't know the rules. The rules have been lost in time. Those cardboard rules probably deteriorated that they had in that little box. But we found the board, and we found some of the pieces, and we're trying to figure out, how does this game work? But we don't have the instructions. So, as you and I look at our lives, how are we working? Well, God's given us some instructions. This is how life works best. You know, I love that. Some people say the Bible is basic instructions before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E, right? God has said, and Jesus, when he was asked, what is the, you know, what, how would you summarize all the law and the prophets? He says, love God, love people, right? So God is love. We're focusing this year on this idea of relationship with God and others. So if we want to love God and others well, we need to choose to be doing that. And it comes through service, giving outside ourselves, loving your neighbor as yourself, loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. So God has designed you to love, not to be selfish, not to just make money, not just to be pretty, not just to look good. Your primary purpose is to glorify God by loving him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. You glorify God most when you do that. You might say, what am I supposed to focus on? What's the most important thing in life? Love God. And when you love God, he's going to make you love others because he's going to bring you in right relationship with others. So run on that fuel. You know, I heard a while back that someone had a kid that thought that the car they had functioned on diesel. They put diesel in the gas car. that bus over to run on cooking oil. And you remember that bus? Maybe it was here for a little while, and then they were thinking they're going to journey across the states, and cooking oil worked okay, but it had to be strained. If you had, they would go get the cooking oil from McDonald's. You'd have to strain that, get all the gunk out of it. You know that, and when that bus came around, it smelled like French fries. It was wonderful. It made me want to go get a large fry. You know, cooking that cooking oil. But if he would have tried doing another fuel and it wasn't ready for that, it wouldn't work. So you and I, we are designed by our Maker to love God and love others. And when we don't do that, things start to break. Things start to break down. Another way to think of it, you know, lately I've had to spend quite a bit of time in the hospital with various people in our lives. And, you know, sometimes when you go to the hospital, you find out your heart's got an issue and you got to change your diet. You might say, well, that's so hard. The doctor's saying, I can only eat these four things and I can't touch these 20,000 things. What a restriction. How could he or she say that? Well, the doctor could say, well, if you don't want to follow that restriction, you're going to have another restriction in life. You will probably be back here and have lots of tubes in you, and you might die. So choose your restriction. Choose your restriction. You can restrict the diet and live a healthy, long life, or you can choose this other one. If you want to do whatever you want to do, this is what's going to happen. And God is challenging us here. You have the freedom to choose things. Choose what's going to bring life, and that's loving others and loving God well. So the last point today is use your freedom to love God and others well by living in the true spiritual authority of God himself. You know, one of the interesting aspects of verse 16 here is, in 2 Peter, is that, chapter 2 in 1 Peter, sorry, is that it is juxtaposing two ideas, and they're not the two you might think. The two ideas are using your freedom as a cover-up for evil or serving God. It's not living as free or living as in bondage, right? Because we all are going to have a master. It's not whether you have no master or you have a master. God said, you're going to have a master, but you can choose to live your life as a cover-up for evil, or you can choose to serve God. You're going to either choose to serve something else, or you're going to choose to serve God. It's the heart attitude. You know, it's interesting. You know, you can be doing everything, quote, right, but for the wrong reason. And one thing that's awesome is when we come to Christ, he wants to address those issues of the heart. He wants to address the issues of the heart. You know, we can on the outside be appearing to be doing everything that God asks, but on the inside we're using it as a cover-up for evil, for selfish motives or evil actions. So my question to us today, for us to consider this year, is have you let God transform your heart to a heart that longs what he longs for? Have you recognized that he is God and you are not? Have you purposed in your heart today to obey him, whatever he asks of you, and to search out what he wants of you in Scripture? Those are choices we have this year to consider. We're going to be going through 1 and 2 Peter. So once again, let me just challenge us. Use your freedom to love God and others well. Use your freedom to love God and others well. Do what you were made to do. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have bought us freedom. You set us free from the power of sin in our lives. You set us free from the power of Satan. You set us free from having to live as the world is living, but rather to live as one who is part of your kingdom. Help us to use that freedom to love you and love others well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand for a benediction. And then I would encourage you, even if you're a visitor today, you're welcome to go. We have circle churches that meet till about 12:15, so another 45 minutes or so. One meets in the kitchen, out here in the gallery, up in the lobby, and then in the multipurpose room. If you're not sure where to go, maybe ask the person that brought you or you're next to you, hey, where's your circle group? Can I go with you? And we also have the teens that meet upstairs, so sixth grade and above are going to be upstairs today. So let's just hold up our hands just as an act of receiving from the Lord. All right. Use your freedom today to love God and others well. Do it by finding the liberating restrictions under God. Do it by finding the restrictions that fit the design of the designer. Do it by submitting to God,